Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki
Jai.
Srila Sanatan Goswami Prabhu ki
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai.
Gaur Premananda
ki Jai.
Last time we discussed how someone can begin devotional service. What are the ingredients that may enable one to begin the process of devotional service?
Having a favorable attitude towards Krishna and his devotees.
Yes.
Accumulation of bhakti from Vita's Kriti.
Yeah. Which makes him
eligible.
Fortunate. Yeah. Fortunate souls get the opportunity to associate with pure devotees. And if they develop faith in the messages of pure devotees, they can begin the process of devotional service. And Bhakti Unmukha Sukriti, or Agyata Sukriti, unknown pious activities or unknown devotional activities, especially service to a pure devotee, makes one fortunate. Or leads one to become fortunate. And when one is fortunate and he gets the association of pure devotees and develops faith in the messages of pure devotees, then he can begin the process of devotional service. Especially if...
You said that Bhakti Unmukha Sukriti is of Agyata Sukriti. So, how about Agyata Sukriti? Does that come under Bhakti Unmukha Sukriti?
Yes. Yes. Just like someone may know that
somebody gets on the street normally.
In other words, he knows he's getting the book, but does he know what the subject of the book is?
So let's say he does, but he doesn't take it up to the point of sadhana bhakti.
No. Then what you said is true. By accumulating acts of devotion, he'll come to the point where he can actually surrender to the process. Just like what Srila Prabhupada said, every time they come to the Sunday feast, every time they chant the holy name, every time they hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, every time they offer obeisances, every time they take prasad, it's like 1 cent in their account. And 1 cent plus 1 cent plus 1 cent. Eventually they get $100. So, the crucial point is the association of devotees. The mercy of devotees. If someone gets the mercy of devotees, he can begin the process of devotional service. So we can see that the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the mission of Srila Prabhupada is to distribute mercy. And the medium for the distribution of mercy is the devotees. So we can see how scientific the Krishna consciousness movement is. Because the whole combined effort is to give people the association of devotees, or give people the mercy of devotees, so they can come to the point of devotional service. The other consideration, which is not as important as getting the mercy of the devotee, actually getting the mercy of the devotee is the main thing. But the other consideration is that the person shouldn't be too attached to material enjoyment or too attached to artificial renunciation. But here, if they get the association of the devotee, he can break their false attachments or slacken their false attachments to material enjoyment or impersonal speculation. And here, Srila Prabhupada's books are most essential. Because by getting Srila Prabhupada's books, they get Srila Prabhupada's association. And Srila Prabhupada is preaching to them in his books and breaking their false attachments or false ideas and encouraging them to begin the process of devotional service. In other words, whatever Srila Prabhupada would have done in person or did in person, he does the same thing in his books. I was just thinking of my own experience with Srila Prabhupada. Sats Rupa Maharaj, who was the temple president in Boston, arranged for Srila Prabhupada to speak at Brandeis University, where I was studying. And then the next day I went to the temple, and Srila Prabhupada took questions after the lecture. I couldn't understand the lecture so well. So I asked, but there's so many different yogis recommending so many different processes, so how do I know which is the best? Because each one says that his is the best. And Srila Prabhupada replied, what is your goal? Do you want to become God, or do you want to serve God? Now, most yogis in the West at the time were saying that you could become God. And I was under the impression that that was what I wanted. So, when Srila Prabhupada asked, I didn't answer. I was just silent. So then he said, if you want to become God, it means that now you're not God. And how can not God become God? He said, God is always God. He's substantially God. He doesn't have to become God by yoga or meditation. And then he said that Krishna is God when he's playing on the lap of Yashoda. He's God when he's speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. He's always God. He never has to become God. Then he said, if you sow the seed of service to God, then and water it by chanting, then God will provide all of the sunlight and other favorable conditions to make the plant grow. But if you want to become God, then why should God help the competition? So then he said, God is in your heart. You can become godly, but you can't become God. If you try to become God, you're only cheating yourself. So then he asked again, what is your goal? Do you want to become God, or do you want to serve God? So at the time, I had one sign on my wall in my apartment, which I had written with very artistic letters and colors. You are God. I kept it on the wall just to remind me, in case I forgot. So while Srila Prabhupada was speaking, I was thinking that, you know, he knows everything about me. He can see into my heart. He can see into my apartment. He sees the sign on the wall. Then I decided, you know, this is my spiritual master and I surrender. So then within a week, that was the first meeting, actually. Then I would come every day, and within about a week, I moved in. Then our schedule was, we used to get up so early, it was one of the most difficult things to adjust to. I think we used to get up by 5 or 5:30, and Mangal Aarti was at 6:30. and I had to go and pick flowers before Mangal Aarti. So, but then they needed another initiated devotee to offer Aarti, so they decided to propose me. So they wrote to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada wrote back. And what he wrote back is actually quite relevant to what we've been discussing. It is a great... he says, I'm very glad to understand that you have at least relished some of the transcendental bliss of Krishna consciousness. It is a great fortune for you. He's actually summarizing what we've been discussing. Living entities are roaming within the universes in different species of life and in different planetary systems, enjoying or suffering the reaction of pious or impious activities. But they have no information how to get out of this entanglement of the repetition of birth and death. Due to the darkness of ignorance, most living entities have no idea about the values of life. Therefore, one who understands the importance of Krishna consciousness must be a very fortunate soul. Of course, that was by Srila Prabhupada's association that we could hear about the goal of life and know that the goal is not to become God, but to serve God and to learn who we are, to learn who God is, and to learn what our relationship is. Then he writes, so I marked it in your person when I was in Boston, and I prayed to Krishna that this good soul may be aware of the importance of Krishna consciousness. So this, of course, is something that we might not usually be aware of in the preacher. We see the preacher preaching and answering questions and engaging people. But we don't, we might not know how he's praying. So, at least in this case, Srila Prabhupada, but I don't know. But anyway, at least in this case, he prayed. He probably thought that I wasn't qualified, so he prayed, and Krishna must have responded. So, so now, Srila Prabhupada, even then, you know, he was asking the devotees to preach, go out and meet people, because the tendency was to let Srila Prabhupada be the only preacher, because he was Prabhupada and we were all new devotees. But even then, Srila Prabhupada was saying we should go out, we shouldn't ask that every time there's a program he should speak. And he wanted his message and his association to be given to people through us. To some extent through his books, but actually there were hardly any books then. There was just the abridged Gita and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. But he wanted us, and he wrote one letter to one lady that we say that the mantra should be heard from the lips of a pure devotee. But since you're hearing from me, and then people are hearing from you, it's the same as them hearing from me. So this was actually how Srila Prabhupada expanded the mission, or how he expanded his own service through us. I was remembering today how in 1970, Srila Prabhupada asked two of us to go to his rooms at Radha Damodar and go through his papers there, and to, destroy the papers that were not relevant, and to keep the others. So going through the old letters and other papers, we saw that Srila Prabhupada himself had begun all the same activities that he later introduced in ISKCON. He would do everything. He would get lists of big people, members of the Chamber of Commerce or whatever, and he would write letters to them, try to interest them. He would print Back to Godhead and personally distribute them. He printed Srimad Bhagavatam, personally tried to distribute them to libraries and gentlemen. And then he had started the League of Devotees. And in the League of Devotees, he had like life membership, like what we have in ISKCON, everything. The only difference was that he was doing everything himself then. But the same program and the same activities that he was doing alone, he was now doing through us, or with us. So nothing changed, actually. So this is scientific, that we give people knowledge, sambandha gyan, and then we help them to establish their relationship of service with Krishna. And when we read about the different items of devotional service, we'll also see how Srila Prabhupada incorporated so many of them in ISKCON every day. Some of his godbrothers even, or some Gaudiya Vaishnavas, even commented that he had done a brilliant job of incorporating so many different items of devotional service in a very pleasing and compact way. Like we have Mangalarti, at the same time sing Guru Vastakam, then the Nisringa prayers, then obeisances to the Vaishnavas, then Tulsi Puja. So many important items in a very pleasing, variegated program, which doesn't take too long either. So actually, Lord Chaitanya's mercy and Lord Nityananda's mercy and the Goswami's mercy and the previous Acharya's mercy all were embodied and presented to the world, to us, through Srila Prabhupada. And we who have been the recipients of Srila Prabhupada's mercy also have the duty to try to reciprocate with him and give mercy to others. And that's why I wanted us to go out, preach, go door to door, house to house, and distribute books and give people the chance to do devotional service. And I read also in one verse in the 11th canto where Lord Krishna says the same thing to Uddhava, I think. Anyway, it's in the 11th canto, that when the student receives knowledge from the spiritual master, the student should repay the spiritual master by distributing the same knowledge to others. And the main thing is sincerity, because we may not be learned if we speak from the heart, and people will respond. So any questions or comments?
I was thinking about a further category of fortune, which is maybe very rare. But when the Supreme Personality of God himself bestows his mercy, just like when Lord Chaitanya was traveling in South India, and just by hearing you chant the holy names, sometimes you pass by someone and embracing them and telling them to chant Hare Krishna, and then they would chant in ecstasy, you know. And then they would go into the village and they would also feel the love of God. So the love of God is spreading all over South India.
True. Lord Chaitanya was in the mood of a devotee. And the mood of a devotee can be more liberal than the mood of Krishna. In fact, the last verse we read, in the last meeting, Tuliye Napi. Text 55. Tulayama Levena. Now, how are devotees described here? Bhagavad Sanghi Sangasya. The association of devotees means the association of persons who themselves are in the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavat Sanghi Sangasya. Sanghi Sanghasya. The association of devotees who themselves are in the association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is more appreciable when we get it through the devotee rather than when we try to get it directly. Just like in the third canto, Lord Kapila tells Devahuti that there is nothing that causes more pain than the association of men who are attached to women.
Yoshit Sanghi.
Actually, we're going to come to that verse when we discuss non-devotees. So, associating with a man who's attached to women can be more harmful than associating with a woman directly. But similarly, associating with a devotee who's associated with the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be more beneficial than associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. Of course, anyway, the point is that as devotees, we have a special duty to Srila Prabhupada and the fallen souls to give them association. And generally, one cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. But in special cases, one may get the Lord's association directly. But even then, it's not as beneficial as to approach the Lord directly as when one is recommended to the Lord by some devotee. Just like Maharaj Pratap Rudra, he was living in Jagannath Puri at the same time as Lord Chaitanya. And he wanted to have Lord Chaitanya's audience, but he couldn't. But when the devotees intervened on behalf of King Pratap Rudra, then Lord Chaitanya softened. And ultimately he did give his audience to Pratap Rudra.
Also, another example of Lord Chaitanya's soul in Krishna that he just moved his father out, and Lord Chaitanya rejected his association. Yep. But then he wants the kids to Lord service. So Prabhupada explained that the connection there actually is very essential to being in favor of the Lord's devotees.
Yep. So now we begin today's reading. So not everyone that gets the association of the pure devotee awakens faith. And here faith has a particular meaning. And unless one develops faith, he can't actually begin the process of devotional service. He can do some service in addition to his other activities. But to actually begin the process of pure devotional service requires faith. So, first Lord Chaitanya tells us what is the instruction of Lord Krishna that we have to have faith in. And if we do have faith in it, then we can begin the process of devotional service. Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyajimam namaskuru mame vaishyasi satyam te pratijane priyosime. Always think of me and become my devotee. Worship me and offer obeisances unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you. And yoga. The final instruction of the Bhagavad Gita is to become Krishna's devotee and engage in devotional service. Now the next verse is also very important. As long as one is not satiated by fruitive activity and has not awakened his taste for devotional service by Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, this is text 61, one has to act according to the regulative principles of the Vedic injunctions. Now here's a very important point, because sometimes we also face the question at ISKCON, should we tell a student to give up his studies and join the temple? Or should we tell a householder or anyone to give up his job and join the temple? So unless the person has faith that simply by serving Krishna everything will be achieved, the highest goal will be achieved, and there's no need to engage separately in fruitive activities or mental speculation, then he should continue his prescribed duties in Varnashram. Because if he really doesn't have faith, and if he leaves his prescribed duties, then after some time, he will think that, oh, I should have been doing something else. I have neglected my family, and I should be taking care. And then he'll leave again. And when he leaves, he'll think that he's at a disadvantage. Because he left his material position to join, and now he has to go back again. So the person should have faith, real faith, that simply by the process of devotional service he'll get the results of all other processes. He doesn't need any other process. And he should be satiated by fruitive activity. In other words, he should have had enough of fruitive activity. Just like some people, they have enough. They don't want any more. So if he's convinced about the value of devotional service, and at the same time, if he's had enough of fruitive activity, then he doesn't have to follow the rules and regulations of Varnashram. He can take fully to the process of devotional service. But if he's not convinced, or if he's not satiated means surfeited. Surfeited means he had enough of it. Then he shouldn't give up his prescribed duties.
Isn't it usually the case that somebody's actually not convinced, but when they're preached to by the devotees, they become convinced, and therefore that puts extra emphasis on the importance of preaching?
They get convinced by preaching. That's what the preacher is supposed to do. Convince people about the process of devotional service.
But it's not just that they've had enough in the material world and that's sufficient.
No, they need both. They need to be satiated and convinced. Because somebody might even be theoretically convinced, but if he's not satiated, he'll go back, even though theoretically he knows about devotional service. And there may be many people that are satiated, but if they're not convinced about devotional service, they may go for other processes, impersonalism or hedonism or anything.
So a preacher actually has to be quite expert to be able to ascertain just whether it's advisable to encourage someone to join up or not.
Yes, we should be intelligent to understand.
I once heard Srila Prabhupada define expertise in preaching, or realization in preaching, to be able to inject courage and instill faith when there is no faith.
Yeah.
So that also is a factor.
That is preaching.
Yeah, if a preacher is expert enough, then you can instill faith.
Preaching means to create faith. Yeah. Create faith means create bhakti. Because strong faith is the beginning of uttama bhakti, whereby they give up everything else and just engage in devotional service. Of course, when Srila Prabhupada was here, he encouraged everyone to join. More or less everyone. Although I heard that he told George Harrison not to join. Told him to remain a beetle. Write songs about Krishna. But generally, he wanted people to come forward and join the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just like Lord Chaitanya got Rupa and Sanatan and others to join. But Lord Chaitanya also didn't take everyone immediately. Like he sent Raghunath Das back home and told him that he should externally appear like an ordinary householder, but inwardly he should be detached from household life and attached to Krishna. And Raghunath Bhatta, he sent him back to serve his parents. Of course, his parents were pure devotees. Srila Prabhupada explains that the reason he sent them back was because they were pure devotees, otherwise he wouldn't have sent them back to serve ordinary parents. But then again, some devotees say, and there may be truth to it also, that Srila Prabhupada had very little time, and so he asked everyone to come forward to spread the movement. And he took risks.
So there's someone with first class intelligence doesn't have to be materially satiated, or say he can give up, or he can act with just by hearing.
In other words, yes.
Or is that absent call you?
No, if like Krishna says, we have to control the lower self and the higher self. So if the intelligence is convinced, then the intelligence can control the mind and the senses. If the intelligence is strong enough. Sometimes the mind overpowers the intelligence, and the senses overpower the mind and intelligence, and then the person falls. But otherwise, if he's convinced with his intelligence, then he can succeed. And the philosophy is meant to appeal to the intelligence. Of course, on one level, it goes straight to the soul, and it purifies the heart. But on another level, it goes to the intelligence, to convince the intelligence. Okay, now we come to the definition of faith. This is one of the most important verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita, which Srila Prabhupada often quotes in other places as well. By rendering, this is text 62, by rendering transcendental loving service to Krishna, one automatically performs all subsidiary activities. This confident, firm faith, favorable to the discharge of devotional service, is called Shraddha. then he quotes one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, text 63, that by pouring water on the root of the tree, one automatically satisfies the trunk, branches, and twigs. Similarly, by supplying food to the stomach, where it nourishes the life air, one satisfies all the senses. In the same way, by worshipping Krishna and rendering him service, one automatically satisfies all the demigods. So many people ask, why do we only worship Krishna in ISKCON? Why don't we worship Shiva or Durga or anyone else? So here's the answer from the scripture, that we don't have to worship anyone else, we only have to worship Krishna. Because he is the root of everything. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna gives the example of the banyan tree, whose roots are upwards and whose branches are downwards. So the roots are Krishna. The ultimate source of everything is Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhavam mata sarvam pravartate. So when we water the root, then the rest of the tree is nourished. But then someone might say, well, why can't we worship Krishna and the demigods? Why only Krishna? And there the answer is that that the scientific process is to only put the food in the stomach. If you try to put the food in the nose or in the ear, it will create havoc. So we only put the food in the stomach through the mouth. A Shraddhavan Jan, or a person with faith, Haya Bhakti Adhikari, he's eligible for discharging transcendental loving service to the Lord. Shraddha Anusari, according to the proportion of faith, Uttama Madhyam Kanista, is classified as first class, intermediate, or inferior class. Faith means faith in the scriptures. Faith in the scriptures that tell about the ultimate goal, which is Krishna or Krishna Prema, and the supreme process, which is Bhakti Yoga. Because faith is awakened in the association of devotees, but the devotees repeat the message of scripture, especially the scriptures that deal with bhakti. So here faith means faith in the scriptures that tell about bhakti. Like all of Srila Prabhupada's books. Now, because faith means faith in the scripture, and if one has faith in the scripture and taste, then faith will lead to knowledge. So here the Uttama Adhikari is described in text 66. Shastre Yukto Chandipuna. He's expert in logic and understanding of revealed scriptures. Here, logic means logic applied to the revealed scriptures, not logic independent of the revealed scriptures. In devotional service or spiritual life, there's no question of logic independent of the scriptures, but The logic is apparent in the scriptures. And Dridha Nischaya, Prauda Shraddha. He's firmly convinced and has deep faith.
Which verse is this?
66. These Uttama Adhikaris. He has two qualifications. He is expert in the scripture and he is firmly convinced. He has deep faith. If somebody gives an argument against devotional service, he can defeat it. And he has deep faith. Then, text 68. Ya shastra adishu anikuna. He does not know scriptural argument very well, but Shraddhavan, he has faith. Satu Madhyama. In other words, he has knowledge of the scripture to some extent, and he can defeat ordinary arguments on the basis of scripture. But if some very expert karmi or jnani or yogi or even pseudo-devotee puts forward strong arguments, he may not be able to refute them. But still, because he has faith, deep faith, he won't be daunted in his conviction about devotional service, even if he can't beat the argument. That's Madhyamadhikari. And Kanista Adhikari, text 70, Ya Bhavet Komala Shraddha. One whose faith is not very strong, who is just beginning, Sa Kanistro Nigadyate, he should be considered a Kanista Adhikari. So he also has some knowledge, but very little. And he also has weak faith. So if there's some strong opposing argument, he may become confused. But still, if he has bhakti in his heart, although he may be temporarily confused, he will remember, especially his spiritual master, and the words of his spiritual master. And thus he will collect his thoughts and become pacified. And he'll again return to his determination to continue devotional service. So the Uttama Adhikari has very firm faith and is also very expert in logic, scriptural understanding. The Madhyamadhikari, he also has such strong faith that he won't be deviated from devotional service, even if he's not expert enough in scriptural argument to defeat opposing views. And the Kanista Adhikari is weak in faith and poor in knowledge. And he can become confused by opposing arguments. Now, one whose faith is soft and pliable is called a neophyte. But by gradually following the process, he will rise to the platform of a first-class devotee. In other words, we're not meant to remain as neophytes. But we're meant to make advancement by following the process. And this brings us back again to the goal, which is prema. that we shouldn't just be following the rules and regulations for the sake of following, but we should know that we're following a process that will advance us ultimately to the highest stage. And that would please Srila Prabhupada very much. Srila Prabhupada often said that one moon is worth millions of stars. The light from one moon is greater than the light from thousands of little stars. So he wanted one moon or many moons. So we should try. Try means we just serve Srila Prabhupada, follow his instructions, serve his mission, and increase our faith and knowledge. And that's where the association of devotees becomes important again, to increase our faith more and our understanding. And that's why, like, in the beginning I also wondered, why did Srila Prabhupada introduce the Srimad Bhagavatam class? Why didn't he just give us 1 hour to read his books? The Sasarup Maharaj told me that Srila Prabhupada said that discussion of the scripture is more potent than just reading of the scripture by oneself. And when we go further in the discussion of the process of devotional service, we'll see that one of the five most potent items is to taste the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. Not just to read by oneself. So everything that Srila Prabhupada did was significant and scientific. So by reading and discussing and following the process in general, we can advance. And then we can do better service to Srila Prabhupada and his mission.
Why is it considered more detrimental to one's spiritual being to associate with a man who's attached to one than to associate with a woman?
Because by associating with a man who's attached to a woman, you can get more ideas, you can get more bad ideas about what to do with the woman than you might get if you just leave the woman. And the same with devotees. By associating with devotees, you can get more good ideas about how to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead than you might get if you just simply saw him. Yes.
The question of Uttamavati is one of logic and it can oppose to another person.
Uttama Adhikari.
Yes.
Not Uttama Bhakti, no.
Oh, it's not the same.
We're discussing here eligibility for Uttama Bhakti. So, one who is a Kanista Adhikari can also practice Uttama Bhakti, but he'll be shaky. Someone who's a Madhyama Adhikari can practice Uttama Bhakti, and he'll be more firmly fixed. And an Uttama Adhikari can be engaged in Uttama Bhakti, and he can deliver the whole world. Yeah, but if he wants to preach, he can deliver the whole world, if he decides to preach.
Is it not that the Uttamadhikari stage is only reached when a person comes to the level of bhava.
Now, I was also going to mention this, and I'm glad you also asked it, that it's not that there are clear divisions between Kanishtadhikari, Madhyamadhikari, and Uttamadhikari. It's like a gradual increment of faith and knowledge. So, Uttama means highest, Madhyam means intermediate, and Kanishta means lowest. So, even say within Kanishta, there's lower end of Kanishta, middle stage of Kanishta, and higher stage of Kanishta. Then in Madhyam, there's lower stage of Madhyam, middle stage of Madhyam, and higher stage of Madhyam. And Uttama, same. Lower stage of Uttama, middle stage of Uttama, and higher stage of Uttama. But generally, if we see the progression from Shraddha to Prema, someone who's attained the stage of Bhava, he's certainly Uttamadhikari. But like I said, it's not that one suddenly stops and the other suddenly begins.
You're saying there's an overlap between senior stage of Madhyam and junior
stage? Yeah, of course. Because when asakti becomes mature, it goes into bhava. And when bhava becomes mature, it goes into prema. So the beginning stage of bhava will have more in common with asakti, and the later stage of bhava will have more in common with prema. And even in prema, there's more mature stages. Just like if we look at ourselves and try to place ourselves in the line, sometimes it's a little hard to know, because sometimes we seem to exhibit symptoms of one thing, but then again we exhibit symptoms of another thing. And it's hard to place ourselves exactly on the scale, because it's not so clear cut. We may be at a certain stage, but then, Krishna may give us some special mercy and we can experience a glimpse of something from a higher stage. Krishna does that. Just like Narada Muni, Krishna appeared in the heart of Narada Muni, and then he disappeared. And he told Narada that this is the last time you will see me in the present life. But I've let you see me just to increase your eagerness to attain me. So Krishna does that. He gives us some glimpse of something higher to encourage us so that we'll go further. We'll become eager to make more progress. And sometimes if we commit some mistake or some offense, Krishna will punish us and make us experience a level of consciousness that we thought we left behind some time ago. We'll have trouble controlling our mind or our senses, which we don't usually have. But because we did something wrong, or we didn't do something that Krishna wanted us to do, so Krishna gives us a little slap. And when we get the slap, then we experience a level of difficulty that we don't usually experience, that usually accompanies someone in a lower stage. So we're generally somewhere, but we do have glimpses of something higher. And sometimes we also get caught in something lower. But generally we should be progressing. But that also Krishna will take care of.